Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 11. These are God's words, so let us offer the right hearing of them to him as worship. The word which came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter?" says Yahweh. "Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant that I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Now, therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says Yahweh, Behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good." So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Now often a preaching illustration is more vivid when the Lord has made the preacher to experience it firsthand. One of the things that the Lord teaches us by having Jeremiah go and watch a potter while he tells Jeremiah this. He could have just given him the words, right? He didn't have to send him to a potter's house in order to give him the words. I don't know if you guys have ever seen someone turning pottery on a wheel, especially a hand pump wheel where you have to, a foot pump wheel where you have to keep pumping to keep the stone turning. And in this case, the word is actually two stones. It's not a word for wheel. It's a dual word, which means two of them, that some of you who have studied a little Hebrew may remember, and stones. And you'd have a smaller stone sitting on a big stone with sticks sticking out of it at the bottom, and you'd keep kicking the sticks to turn the stones on their axis so that you would work, or was it a big stone on top of a small? It doesn't matter. The point is that God wants his word to be very vivid to us. He wanted his word to be vivid to Jeremiah so that Jeremiah could communicate to the people to whom he preached how much the Lord wanted his word to be vivid and clear and forceful and impressed upon them. This is something that preachers use illustrations to help, just like the Lord Jesus often used illustrations, although the illustrations hid his word from those who either their minds were darkened or their hearts were hardened against him. Well, I guess it would be both. So one of the things that as you hear the word of God taught, or as you read the word of God, you need to be seeking from the Holy Spirit, looking to the Lord to make his word impress upon you, that you would be affected by it, that you would take it seriously, that it would grip you, that it would come to you clearly. Those things that preachers rightly use illustrations to try to help with are ultimately things that the Holy Spirit must give in our minds and our hearts. So that's actually the very first thing that we learn here, how the Lord wants his word to be impressive to us. And he communicates to the people of Israel several things about himself. The first is that he is sovereign. He's in control. He's at the wheel. when we interact with God, it's not two equals coming to the table. It is even more unequal than a human being in a lump of wet dirt with a high enough clay content to make into pottery. He is the potter. We are the clay. He is not required to comply with us. We are required to comply with him. And yet, he is active. He's active. He does respond to us according to his perfect character. And so, if we repent, he responds to that. If we turn from good to evil, he responds to that. He's active and interactive. And he is planning. He teaches us in his word what we can expect if we are doing good and what we can expect if we are doing evil. And he has, of course, beyond that, a plan that goes to his eternal saving plan. Because if it's what we can expect if we're doing good and evil, and you realize you're always doing evil, then you have despair. But what does Jesus tell his disciples after he rises again from the dead? Must be preached in his name to all the nations. Repentance and remission of sins. Repentance is possible. And forgiveness isn't just possible, but it says in this passage that it's guaranteed with repentance. Because repentance comes by the power of the Lord. So when we hear him threaten, and it's not an empty threat, that if a nation does wickedly, or a church does wickedly, or a family does wickedly, or a person does wickedly, that he will bring disaster upon them. We must also hear the call to repentance. Because in the passage he says, if I've spoken against a kingdom, but they turn from their evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the wonderful news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God is granting repentance. We don't get to say, well, I'd love to repent, Lord, but Bible says I can't, so I refuse to. No. If repentance comes from him because you can't, then you say, oh, Lord, I see my evil. Make me to see it more. Oh, Lord, I hate my evil. Help me to hate it more. Oh, Lord, I turn from my evil. Grant that I might turn from it. Because he gives repentance. And he gives remission of sins. When he spoke to the Israelites, the house of Judah, especially, or the house of Israel, when he spoke to the Israelites here, and he said, therefore speak to Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says Yahweh, behold, I'm fashioning disaster and devising a plan against you. He's saying, yes, currently you are not the nation that is being built and planted. That was a long time ago, and you did evil, and I determined instead to destroy you. But now you're the first of the nations in this comparison. Now I'm bringing disaster upon you. And if you turn from your evil, then I will relent from the disaster. That's something for you to pray for our nation. Because it's quite clear that our nation is way past the tipping point of being a nation doing evil and then the Lord bringing disaster upon it. And yet this is spoken generally of all nations. And the Lord says if this nation even would turn from its evil, he would relent from the disaster. Now if you have your Bible open, you can look at verse 12 and you can see that they responded in exactly the wrong way. And then they said, this is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans and we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. They understood and agreed with Reformed theology, but they used it as an excuse to be hard-hearted against God. They didn't respond to the fact that since he was offering them reprieve upon repentance, that he would give them repentance if they looked to him for it. To say this is hopeless is to say that God is a liar. He doesn't really give repentance to people. It says, I am the one upon whom everything counts, and since I can't repent, it can't happen. If you say, I can't repent, you're right. By yourself, you're hopeless. This is why you must not be by yourself. That's why you ought to rejoice that God offers repentance, because he is giving it for the sake of his love, for the sake of his son whom he has given in that love. Amen. Let's pray. Grant to us, O Lord, to see hope in the fact that you are the potter, and not as the clay to grumble against you, but to realize that we have not been doing according to your command, and that we do deserve to be shaped unto disaster, but that you have offered that we might be reshaped unto salvation. And so make us to find our hope in you, hope for repentance, hope for turning away from our sin. Oh, give us, we pray, to turn away from our sin. I pray for each of us here at this table that you would help us to see particular sins from which we ought to be turning away, and that you would grant to us about each of those particular sins not to say this is hopeless, but to know that you who offer the reprieve are the one who gives the repentance. So grant by your Spirit that we would seek and receive both from you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.